We thank you, Lord, for this hour. We plead the blood of Jesus upon us, Lord. Speak through our mouth, Lord Jesus. Minister to us, to your body, the body of Christ, what you are preparing us for in these last days, and what is hindering us from getting into that door you want you to reveal to us. And help us, Lord Jesus, to go through that door into the anointing, so that you can make us ready for the rapture. Thank you, Father. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise see the Lord. Amen. I'm going to start by telling a vision that the Lord showed to me many years ago. And I just pray that the Lord will help us to understand this. In this vision, I'm talking of in the 1970s, very close to 80, the Lord showed this vision to me. I was still in Nigeria then, like a train of, no, it's a train, a railway train. You see several cargoes. About four of them, they are not really real train, but it was a train of specific individual ministers, about four of them. And the Lord showed to me in that vision, a door was open and this four ministers line up, 1, 2, 3, 4, and a door was open. They entered this door, and then it turned like a train. That's why I looked at quality train. A train where this man was lying on the floor, this one touched him like this, and the next one on that, and the next one on that, and they were almost like maneuvering, like a train will go in that room, a big, large hall, and almost like they were maneuvering on the floor, like a train will go. And then as they get to the door, there was a door at the end of that room. The one in the front opened that door, and as he swung the door open, the next second person saw the door and detached from the man in front and entered the door, taking the next train through. And the man that opened the door joined the train like this, and they entered a second door, a second room, hall, like a hall, and they maneuver again. I was like a mop watching, and they maneuver again in that room until they get to another door in that hall at the other end of the hall. And when they get to that door, they didn't go straight, they more or less maneuver, almost like when you are doing a campaign. And then when they get to the other next person, open the door, swing it open, and the next person, which should be the number three now, before, saw the door and entered. And this guy will join them, the train, the four of them still go. And then when the last third one saw the door entered, saw the door, he went, instead of going through this maneuvering, he went straight to the other door that he wanted to open. And he went straight to that other door and swung it open. When he swung it open, nobody was able to go in. Looked like a master who was the supervisor came by there and tried to swing that door open. Looked like as he swung the door open, the chain or the old train seems to be moving with the door, and he couldn't go in. Then the vision stopped. And I kept wondering about that vision over the years. That could it be because he went straight, that was why the door didn't, he opened the door, the people couldn't detach from the man in the front now, or they didn't see the door that was open. So I kept wondering about that. Over the years, now in America, I saw another vision. Remember, they couldn't go in, is the main thing. And the last door, they couldn't go into that door. The Lord made me to know that this has to do with the work of the Lord at the end time. Because those four main ministers, it's like they are more or less doing the first wave, the second wave, and they are now to go through a door into the Midlander anointing. Then about many years later, which is now in America, sometime in the 2005-2007, I saw another vision. The Lord showed this one to me. In this vision, I was like on a mountain. I've related this particular one in many places. I was on a mountain, and there was a big city, like a city we all wanted to go. And there was a wall around the big city. And the city was full of cloud, like white cloud, bright light. And there was a gate. And I was on this mountain watching these people. People are coming from the outside. They wanted to go through that door, through that gate, into the city of light. And the first person tried to go in, he ran back. And the next person, and they are piling now. They are now piling at the door. They were piling at the gate, outside the wall. And one of them said, an angel was inside that light that was trying to kill us. And I was watching. Then one of them, I was just hearing what they are saying. One of them said, wait, the Lord is coming to talk to us. Wait, the Lord is coming to talk to us. And from that city came doves flying above the walls. The doves, I just call them doves, they are birds. They flew above the walls and came. And then with those doves, came the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Flew with them. And the Lord landed in front of this large crowd. Now there are now a large crowd at the gate. They couldn't get in. And in my mind, I knew that they were believers, saints, that couldn't get into that door. Because there was so bright light in that door. And when the Lord landed in front of them, the Lord told them, I told you to walk in love. That was the message. I told you to walk in love. That was the message. Then I woke up in the vision. I've repeated this over and over and over again. I just told you this. Now, after beginning to compare the first vision in the 70s with this vision, I said, the Lord began to make me to see that was what he was saying. Why couldn't they go in that first vision, this last phase that they couldn't go in? He just brought it back in that vision where he said they were piling at the gate and they couldn't go into that light because I told you to walk in love. So that's why the Lord said I should replay or repeat this sermon again. And I have presented this in magazines. This is a magazine I'm going to show to you. This has been sent out sometime in 2018. This is my magazine called Harvest is Ripe. And I'm only just printed this water because it's still on my computer. And in this literature is a prophecy by Jane Lead. It's called The Reign of Love's Kingdom. The Jane Lead, some of us that know, that was the woman that had so many books compiled in the 1600, that was when she was writing books. And in some of those, we compiled a quality scroll, 51 that many of us are familiar with. In this passage, I just extracted this from some of our sermons that said, the reign of love's kingdom. And what she was saying in this prophecy was that God will continue to wait until this divine love is found in the body of Christ. Because when you read the old text, you say, it said, by all means, we see what has hitherto put a stop and caused the Lord to delay his coming. And we continue to delay until perfect love is come to burn up every image in the mind that is not engraved by God's own finger. That's just a sentence in this prophecy. And that was when this same thing, when you look back to the summary that was given in Scroll 51, we call it Scroll 51, which was actually a pamphlet that was written that some of the followers in that 1600 compiled all the books and put a sign that said, everybody should walk in love. That sentence is summarizing some of these things. And she said, that is why God will continue to wait until this divine love is found in his body. See, we were waiting in the 1900s because in the 1600s they were also revived, waiting for the Lord's coming. It was so much revival, they were thinking the Lord is coming. And when she was putting this one out, saying that was why the Lord kept on delay. We were waiting in the 70s, 1970s, revival coming, that the Lord is coming soon. Many of us were seeing dreams, visions, rapture. I saw many of them too. That make many people left colleges and think the Lord is coming soon. But that was 40 something years ago. What God was using those to get us from this level to the next level. But you see, when you now read this story, he's saying this is what the Lord is waiting for. This is what the Lord is waiting for in his body. I'm not talking of this group. I'm talking of the body of Christ worldwide. Because this is message that he said, put this one out there, and it's going on television now in some of the places on my what we call video on demand. And some other sections here is she mentioned here. He said, we know it to be so from the all-piercing eye, which doth try all degrees of love, and it may be universally bewailed that so much superficial, formal, and dead love is found both to God and one another. Hence, we do not wonder that the bridegroom makes no more haste. His bride, wanting as yet a full vesture or a robe of pure charity, love, without which she can never be said to be ready. For this is to be all her glory, both within and without, and to adorn her for love and delight. That's another sentence of this prophecy of Jane Lead. In 69, I say God is still waiting. He's going to keep waiting until he gets that divine love in his body. So that is the purpose why he said, preach this message again and again. We will repeat it as the Lord this again and again, because love is what everybody says. Love is going to rapture the bride. And that is all we are going to talk about today, a little bit of it. And I pray that the Lord will give us utterance and help us to understand this. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to just give us some Bible verses that we can help us to know that we must walk in love. We must walk in love. See, by reading that prophecy, it makes us to see the importance of what God said when he said, love one another. He said, by this shall men know that ye are my disciples. When you have what? Love one to another. But you see, what is this thing? Someone said, well, I think I have love. But you see, you have bitterness against anybody, not just some people that are in anybody. What was the Lord God gave to us? See, his new commandment I have given unto you. A new commandment. All the laws of the Old Testament, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit this adultery, thou shalt not do all these evil things. See, they are all summarized in one sentence. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, but God is looking for something much more than just that. You have to remember that. In the scripture, in the word called love, that was translated as love, they call in the King James Version, they call it charity, which is actually love. There are three types of that thing called agape love, is what God is looking for. There's what they call eros, which is the one that people have attraction to one another and they get married on, erotic love. Then they have the filial love, which is friendship love. Now I'm going to take a story from the book of Ruth. From the book of Ruth, chapter 1. Give me Ruth, chapter 1. And I'm more or less going to. Many of us know this story of this woman called Ruth. She followed her mother-in-law back to Israel. And from the story, God wanted to point to us what the love that he is talking about. The love that he is talking about. The unconditional love. Look at the story from Ruth chapter 1, the whole of chapter 1. Give me verse, let's just open up to verse 1. Ruth, not Ruth, not Luke, Ruth. The book of Ruth, chapter 1. I'm going to paraphrase until we get to verse 16. This woman and her family and her husband, that is Naomi, and her husband and two sons, they left Israel because there was famine in the land of Israel. So they left Israel to go and sojourn in a place called Moab. The two sons were, in those days, maybe they were teenagers, not ready for marriage. But while they were in the land of Moab, the Bible said they were there for almost 10 years because of the famine. And while they were in the land of Moab, the man died, Ahimelech is his name, I believe. He said it. Elimelech is his name. So he died, leaving the woman as a widow with her two sons. And they kept living there, and the two sons married. And those two sons married, one of them married this woman called Ruth. The other one married another one, Orpah. For some reason, within that 10 years, some terrible things happened in Moab. The two men, the two young men, died also. Could be accident, could be violence. Leaving Naomi with her two daughters-in-law. You can see the disaster that came to this woman. Then she decided, what am I doing here? She came because of her husband, or all the things she followed to that Moabite place, they were all gone, also. So she had a while. Everything is back in order right now in Israel. So she decided, she better go back home. The balance of the story, that's the beginning of the story. So she decided that she was going to go back home to Israel, Bethlehem. And maybe they started packing with the daughters, and she decided, something came about. Maybe they have no house. I'm just putting this paraphrase. Perhaps she has no house in Bethlehem, where she could remember sister so-and-so, she will put up with her, or auntie so-and-so, she will put up with her. No, sir. But she now said, what about this daughter-in-law? They're going to be extra burden for her. If she are going to stay with Sister Hex or Auntie Y, when she get back home, these are extra burdens. So that must be what comes to her head. So she better release these women to go back and marry. You know? They are younger, they can marry. So she called the two daughters-in-law and said, it's better for you to just go back to your family. They were Moabites. They married in that, they were from that city, from that country. So just go back home and Lord bless you and give you a husband. And the other one, they cried, they wept. And then the first one, Orpah, she decided she left. And Naomi turned to them and said, follow her, so you also just leave. And that was where verse 16 came into play. Give me verse 16. And this has been reported as a song of love in many places. It's called it a covenant. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Verse 17. Next verse. So where thou diest, I will I die, and there will I be buried. So the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Because what kind of a love is that? What kind of a commitment is that? Well, that is what God is looking for between we and Him. That is the kind of... Now, when you look at this story here, you can see why God specifically put this story here in the scriptures. Because when you see this story, this is the lineage that Jesus Christ came through, this woman. You say, why? Why? Because she... Look at this. Look at an example. We talk about erotic love when they were married, so they have had that erotic love when they were married to their husbands. Well, filial love. A filial love is a friendliness, brotherly kindness. But when you give them the opportunity, they will turn back. That was what the other woman, Orpah, had. She loved, but see, the opportunity showed her, things can still be better over here, she turned back. And let's look at some Bible verses that point to us that. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 to 16. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 to 16. Talking about men of faith. And the scripture said, these all people died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Next verse. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, this is the verse I'm going to, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. Orpah had the opportunity to return. She loved mother-in-law, but here, the opportunity to just go back. And she took the opportunity, the option, to go back. That is the filial love. But the agape love, next verse, verse 16. But now they desire a better country that is an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. So that is the level of agape love that God is saying, that is the love he is waiting for, the love that Ruth showed here, that said, I'm not turning back. He said, well, she has abandoned this country. He said, if they are mindful of the country they come from, they will have our opportunity to return. If you have opportunity to return, will you go back from Jesus? If you have the opportunity to return, will you go back from Jesus? That brings to mind what Job said, that though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That is the commitment and love that this woman, Jilly, was prophesying, that God is waiting for that love that must be God himself manifesting in his saints. It is because the Bible says God himself is love. Remember that. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. God is love. See, we have known and believed the love that God has to us, that God is love. And he that dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now, let me go back to that story of Ruth. What did this woman say? She said, entreat me not to follow you. Entreat me not to follow you. That's Ruth chapter 1 verse 16 again. Put it up again. Ruth chapter 1 verse 16 again. It said, entreat me not to leave thee, for or to return from following thee, from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Look at Revelation chapter 14, verse 4. What did the Bible say about these people that he called the first fruits? These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb where? Whithersoever he goeth. We are to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. That is the first fruits. Because when you read the rest of it, it said, these were the redeemed from among men. So you see, that example of Ruth is saying, I'm following you, where you die, that's where I'm going to die. That is a commitment that God is talking about, agape love. And these first fruits that are going to go with Christ, say they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. So you can see the correlation, see, of this agape love that we see in the story of Ruth and the sons of God that the prophets were saying, God is waiting for this divine love to see it in the body of Christ. Otherwise, it's not coming yet. And you see many, right now in this generation, many are seeing visions of rapture. That was how we saw it in the 70s. The purpose for that is to make us run the race, to make us gear up ourselves, to make us quicken our pace. It will bring you from one level of faith to another level. It may not come in that generation if they don't get this thing right, like he said. If you don't get this divine love right, like the prophecy said, and that is what we are, why we are talking about this, and say, Lord, help us. It's a covenant that God is making with man, and he wants us to know that he is, yes, he's coming soon, but we must be what? Children of God and children of love. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. See, the Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are all the children of God. And the Bible says God is love. And if we are God's children, we must be children of love. And that is all he's pointing out to us. We must be children of love. Matthew chapter 18. I want to now bring it down a little bit closer to us, not just talking generally as love, love. Love. Let's bring it down to our level of what is our problem individually when the body of Christ, in the family, in your relationship. But what is this love you're talking about? It's all have to do with relationship. When we are in the body of Christ, it's relationship, God, you know, one's relationship. When we are in your household, between husband and wife and children and your aunts and your uncles and your Nigerian aunts, Nigerian uncles, extended family, it's relationship, see, relationship. And when God said that, all grudges, it's not between you and God, it's between you and your neighbors and your brothers and your sisters and your husband and your ex-husbands and your sons, it's relationship. So that is all that matters when you're talking about these things. So that's why I say, let's bring it down to our nitty gritty, our level. Matthew chapter 18. Give me Matthew chapter 18. Is anybody there? Verse 21. This is when Lazarus was preaching, and he told them that, well, if you start from verse 15, you see the context of the story. From verse 15, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, what is that relationship? Because that's where we all have issues. My uncle, my brother, my friend, my wife, my spouse, my husband. If they trespass against you, say, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. God is talking about the same thing. That is relationship. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Next verse. But if he will not hear thee, it's more like giving us a protocol. This is how you handle situations. Take with thee one or two, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Next verse. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, what is the church? Local church. I mean, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Well, you say an heathen man, you can remember that, because sometimes people say, well, we're just going to cut him off. But you don't, even an heathen man, you don't hate the heathen man, because the Bible says you're not to hate, you're to love them still. Heathen, you don't believe, but you still love them, the love of God. See? So you have to remember, even though that brother, that sister, that relative that you said, you told the church or church member, you told the church, if the fellow won't accept the church verdict because he thinks he knows better than everybody else, you say, then let him be as an heathen man. That is, you still love him or her, but now you are taking him as he's not a believer. He's not one of false believers. But you cannot hate, because God is talking about heart. Heart, our heart. You cannot hate, and don't allow bitterness to remain, because you say, no, I don't hate him, but some God is looking deeper to see the root of bitterness somewhere there. That when you hear the voice, the name of that person, that root is trying to spring out. That is what we need to deal with. Everybody needs to deal with that root of bitterness, so that we can say, oh, I'm clear. I've forgiven him or her. It's forgiveness, not so. That's to be forgiving from in your own heart. So does that mean I should fellowship with him again? Well, judge that. Have I forgiven him? Have I not? But do I still fellowship with this person? Should I still invite him to my house? Should I still do this? But think about that. You check that in your heart. So here is continuing to the next verse. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth, that means when we believers are following these precepts that God has laid out to resolve situations, then you have authority to bind and loose. Now come to verse 21. This is where Apostle Peter said, wait a minute. Then Peter said unto the Lord, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? 7 times is enough? I mean, you can tell that Peter was being human. Maybe he had somebody in his mind when the Lord was saying these things, and he knew that the way that thing is coming across, that Mr. X, I will do it 7 times. And the Lord said what? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but what? Until 70 times 7. And some narrators have said, he says in a single day. 70 times 7 in a single day, not just 70 times 7 in a 1 year period. But if you compare scripture with scripture, it's saying 70 times 7. Has he offended you 70 times 7 in a single day? No. Then the Lord gave the parable of the unjust, the man that will not forgive. The man that will not forgive, which is the next stories and stories. I don't think I will not go into, that's why it's going to take so much time. But remember, we are talking of, it's a relationship that God is talking about now when it comes to walking in love, walking in forgiveness. Don't be judgmental. Don't be suspicious of everybody. Don't be full of accusation. Romans chapter 13 verse 10. Romans chapter 13 verse 10. This is the summary of all the law of Moses that everybody say you must keep these 10 commandments. In verse 9 and from verse 9, he has told us that all of these laws are summarized in one: thou shalt love thy neighbor, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is biblically comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 10, he said, this love worketh no heal to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So this is the summary of what God is giving to his body. So if we walk in love, then we have authority to tell the devil, leave, Satan. And walking in love, leave. You are not allowed here. And the devil have to obey us, because he said, if we are outside that love, then we are in Satan's territory. We are in Satan's territory. So what does the law require from us? Exercising this love. Exercising it. I don't know anybody is perfect. They say love. They say perfect love casted off. Nobody is perfected in love yet. But we are to exercise it. And exercise it. When this fellow has offended you, can you call the fellow and say, I forgive you? Or if you are the one that offended, I am sorry. Some people, that's too hard for them to even see their story. That's pride, you see. So those are the things you exercise it by hiding this pride and going, taking your first step and say, I'm sorry, I was dealing with somebody that I said, why don't we be like God? And say, well, God, the Bible said, God does not impute our trespasses unto us when he sent Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world, the world of sinners, unto himself. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And that is how we want to be like. We want to be like God, not godly. We want to be like God. We want to walk, show that love that is already, the Bible said the love of God is already shared abroad in our heart. It's already, you know, so if you're born again, it's already in you. Just let it manifest. The flesh, we want to cover it down and say, no, that man did me wrong. No, that fellow did me wrong. Yes, he did you wrong, but God is dealing with you, not that fellow. God is dealing with you. So if we can humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, say, God, then we bless us. We'll be children of Most High God indeed. That is what God is saying. We have to exercise it. Sometimes it's not easy. Yes, it's not easy. But if we exercise it with the Lord's grace, that's the grace we're going to ask for in prayer. With the Lord's grace, we will be able to do what the Lord wanted us to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm going to wrap it up right there, and I'm going to ask us to stand up and pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Many of us know some of these Bible verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 4. We call it charity. Love suffering long. You see what God is calling love is the long suffering, the forgiving one another. You see, that's what he's talking about. He said, even the giving money to people is not, he said, if you have done that, you give your whole house to people and think that's love. He said, that cannot be love. Love suffering long. That means somebody has hurt you. Some ex-friend, co-worker, that man that they say is the one that is doing evil to your household, because African tradition also. That Mr. X, that the competitor with your mom, she's the ex, she's the witch. All of those terminology that we were raised with, that make people to be afraid of people over there, that they would rather kill that person. He said that you have to remember all of those things. They are just Sometimes in the mind, oh, yeah, I know this one's not in the mind. This woman really wanted to do it. Yeah, but you have to know who is actually trying to do it. It's Satan. So just know the enemy and not the human being. And the Bible is saying that long suffering, that is the one God is looking for. The love that he's talking about, because God himself is long. He said, when God described himself, what did he say to Moses? He said, I will declare my name before you. In the book of Exodus, what did he declare? The Lord God, merciful. That's his name. And gracious. Long suffering. Abundance in goodness and in truth. That's his name. So that's why Apostle John could not say God actually is love. Because that's why Peter, where Apostle Paul got it from. He said, all the giving money to the poor, give yourself to the poor. He said, that's not the love. He said, but this suffering long, that's what God called himself. Long suffering. So that's the love. Well, that's now relationship, not some relationship that I'm not going to hold this man to his problem. Oh, he did me wrong, yeah, but I'm not going to hold up to, I'm going to forgive him. That's the long suffering of God. They say he's kind, envieth not, believeth all things. When you go to the next verse, love believeth all things. Many people, they already assume that this fellow has done, he can never be changed. This man. So love believeth all things. Love opeth all things. Love endureth all things. That is the attribute he wanted us to exercise. You say, well, yeah, it's not just coming, it's not coming naturally. Yeah, but you exercise it, you see it become to come naturally because you have the Holy Spirit in you. It's not coming naturally. I want to forgive, but it's not forgive coming naturally. But you just, there was a minister said to a woman, that woman that said she hated her mother-in-law. You know what the minister told her? He said, you don't really hate her. He said, no, I hate that mother-in-law. You don't really hate her. Because if you hate her, this is Satan. If you are a believer, the devil is not in you. You are just yielding to the circumstances. He said, what do I do then? He said, act. Yes. Act as though you love her. And the next time you see her, behave the way you should behave. He said, well, you'll be making it up. Yeah, make it up. He said, love is an act. Somebody that hated, that just make you mad and you see the fellow coming to your place, your face is already frowning. But see, act. Put that act on. Smile. Say, well, that's just make it. God wanted to do that. Make it up. Make it up. Make it up. Because if you keep making it up, Holy Ghost will help you become part of you. So that action is the real God wanted to see. Because if you keep anger in you and hatred in you, hey, that comes that woman again. And you already frowning your face. That means that bitterness is there. Act the way you will if you love. That's what the pastor said to the, that man minister told that woman. Say, act the way you will as though you love her. So the woman wanted to take that step. She purposely invited her mother-in-law to come and have dinner, come and have lunch. And they came, and she now realized that that step, not thinking that I hated that woman, that step of just calling her and the other siblings and the other in-laws to come and have dinner, she realized that, oh yeah, Holy Ghost took over her heart. But she didn't really hate them. Because what you think is hatred is the demon standing upon your shoulder, whispering that thing to you. Spirit, they are like flies. Those demons, they are like flies. They are just rousing it up in you. As long as you keep listening to that fly that landed upon your shoulder, it's not in you unless you are not born again. Then they fly around and they see that fellow with that fellow, and they land and reminded you of what that fellow did. And if you keep listening to the voice of the demons that are whispering to your ear, that will raise up that fleshy anger. And now you see her coming, you cannot control yourself. You want to keep that anger. But if you just act, like you say, act the way you will, that demon will run off. Because he was not expecting that type of reaction. They run off because you acted. And that is the summary of what I'm trying to say when it says, how do you show, if you say it's very difficult, it's not difficult. Act the way you will, as though you love this fellow, and you will see that the Holy Ghost in you will take over. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. And just pray and talk to the Lord and say, Lord, give me that grace so that any time in this race, I'm able to act as in forgiveness, walking in forgiveness, walking in love towards everybody, towards my family members, towards the church members, towards anybody that comes my way. I want to walk in that divine love so that the Lord can bless me. And as we believers begin to act on this, Holy Ghost helping us, then God can begin to say, these people are really children of God indeed. Children of God. Children of love. Talk to the Lord yourself. Just pray. Just pray to the Lord yourself. Just pray to the Lord. Father, we pray, O Lord, that your word has said, we are children of God indeed. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16, that the Bible said, that the Spirit will bear witness that we are children of God. Children of love. Help us to be able to manifest that love, to exercise this love, one toward another. One toward the, to, because when we have that love towards another thing, Lord reminded me of this. He has commanded us to love one another. When we love the Lord Jesus Christ so much that we are ready to do anything for Jesus. Remember, it's a command. He said, do you love me, Peter? That's why he asked Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes. He said, then, do this. And what did he tell us? If you love me, keep my commandments. So if I love the Lord Jesus Christ so much that I will do anything for him, then that brother that hurt me, that my heart is angry about him, that said, forgive him and love him. For Christ's sake, I will forgive him and love him. That your ex, that you just don't want to talk about that fellow anymore. That your cousin, your aunt, your in-law, your brother-in-law, your anybody, whatever it is. Your nephew. You want to say, for Christ's sake, because I love Jesus, and I must do what Jesus said, then I will forgive that fellow. And stretch my hand towards that fellow. Oh, you are being foolish. No, you are being Christ-like. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. So he died for you when you were thieves. He died for you when you were still prostitute. He died for you when you were still armed robber. He died for you when you were doing all those evil things. He already died. He already paid for it. And he came looking for you. Amen? Praise the Lord. He came looking for you. He came looking for me. When I was this and was that, he already paid it. He paid the price. Now he came looking for me and said, come, follow me. Come, follow me. There was a story of Matthew, Matthew that wrote the book of Matthew. It was called Levi. He was a tax collector. Being a tax collector is people that they think they are bad. In Israel, they were bad. And the Lord came and said, follow me. When like the same thing, he calling you and me, we call us to follow him, even though you were once bad and dirty, then he forgave. That's why the Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And because he has done that, because I love Jesus, I must do what? I must obey his word. Walk in love, forgive this brother, forgive this sister, forgive this nephew, forgive this aunt, forgive, and then make restitution. Call them back and say, I forgive you, forgive me, whatever I've done wrong. Let's walk with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this prayer, for this exhortation, for this word of exhortation. I just pray, Lord, that you let it burn in the heart of those. As people are listening to it, Lord, you will be reminding them, Lord, of the fact that this love is essential. And they will remember somebody that they have loggerhead with. And that is what they need to deal with. The one that they have loggerhead with. That's the one you want them to deal with, Lord. I help them to deal with it and to surrender, to just humble themselves before everyone that's listening, whether on radio land or on television land. Help them to surrender to that humility. It takes humility to surrender to the Lord, that they will surrender to humility. And he said, humble thyself under the mighty arms of God, and he will exalt you. Help us to be able to humble ourselves under your mighty arm, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The praise team can come back now. Oh.